that there are a lot of programs that currently exist that focus on kids, that focus on technology, but there weren't a lot that were focused on the teaching profession itself. And that's a problem. That's an issue. And so the social entrepreneur in me realized that gap and that opportunity, because anytime you start a business, you want to create something where there's a need.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And today I cannot wait to introduce you to my friend Lloyd, and he's going to tell us all about people he likes out. Lloyd, who are you and what are you?
Hello, everybody. Todd, first of all, thank you for allowing me onto your platform to allow me to talk a little bit about the work that I'm doing with your audience, man. You're doing some great work highlighting business, nonprofit entrepreneurs. So I'm honored to be here with you and your audience today.
Pleasure.
So I'm Lloyd Hopkins. I'm Lloyd Hopkins. I'm the founder of Million Dollar Teacher Project, which is an organization that I launched in 2016.
Right on.
After working in and around education in different capacities for about 15 years. So I worked with youth offenders, after school recreation, dropout prevention. I'm one of those bleeding hearts, right?
I gotcha.
That believes it's possible to change the world, and impacting kids has always been a focus of mine. So I've always been about community work, and I spent about 6 years directly in the classroom. And that experience is what really fueled the launch of this organization. And the reason why I say that that experience fueled it is because it did two things. One, it showed me I'm not cut out to be a teacher. I don't need to be in the classroom. I need to leave that for somebody else.
Right.
But two, it exposed me to the plight of teachers firsthand.
Interesting.
How they're often undervalued, underappreciated, under-resourced, and overworked.
Right.
And that's a community issue, man. I would challenge you, anybody in your audience, to think of a time when you weren't impacted by a teacher, whether it was a good experience or a bad experience.
Right.
We're all impacted by this profession.
Right.
And so it's a community issue and responsibility to support teachers in some capacity.
I love it.
And so what I realized is that in that work of creating an equitable education system, making sure that every kid gets a good education, because education is the great equalizer.
Yep.
It impacts every sector of life in some shape, form, or fashion, that there are a lot of programs that currently exist that focus on kids, that focus on technology, but there weren't a lot that were focused on the teaching profession itself.
Interesting.
And that's a problem. That's an issue. And so the social entrepreneur in me realized that gap and that opportunity, because you want to, because anytime you start a business,
right,
you want to create something where there's a need.
Yeah.
Or you have an idea or a strategy that's better than what else is out there on the market.
I love that you said that.
So in my situation, so in my situation, there was a gap. There was a glaring hole that wasn't being addressed. And so me realizing that and being a teacher fan, because I also think it's very important that if you are going to launch a business, it needs to be tied to something that you're truly passionate about.
Right.
Because creating a business is hard. It doesn't matter if you're doing for-profit work or nonprofit work. It's a grind. And it takes at least 5 years on average to take any business into profitability or generate revenue or be on the road to sustainability. So you have to be prepared to endure for that time period. So when I realized that supporting teachers, working around education was truly my passion, that's my true north, man. That's what I like to wake up every day and say, this is what I do. And I wear it on my chest. I'm a teacher fan.
Love it.
I run Million Dollar Teacher Project. When I realized that and I knew that was the direction I wanted to take, I established this organization in 2016 and haven't looked back since.
Love it. So walk me through this though, because I want to fill the holes in my own head about this story, because I love a few things about what you said. Every business should be created to solve a problem, right? And sometimes the problems that are being solved aren't being done very good. And so you see that gaping hole, that chasm of here's the problem, here are the solutions right now, and they aren't connecting. So you fill that hole. And you've brought something in the way of you're sustaining the teachers, but you're also trying to build a community for the kids that are dropping out and such. Help me clarify. Are you there to support the teachers, yeah, or is it for the kids, or is it a combo of both? How does this work?
Yeah, so it's a combo of both. What I like to say is that we support students by supporting teachers. So the mission of Million Dollar Teacher Project is to elevate the teaching profession through increased support, compensation, and recognition. Our vision for doing that is that we believe a world can exist where students experience exceptional instruction every day from a skilled, right, passionate teacher. The impact of a quality educator on a student and their development and their career success is exponential. So we want, right, to make sure that every kid has the opportunity to have that experience, so they have, right, every opportunity to be productive adults, live thriving lives, and teachers play a part in that. So the way our delivery model is, we partner with schools that serve under-resourced, underserved communities, marginalized, right, communities that are often the most distressed. You know, we, yep, want to make those areas the destination for, yep, quality teachers. So what we, right, do is we partner with schools in those communities to create focus schools. So our focus schools are saturated with our programming for 3 to 5 years. From year one to three, we're doing the heavy lift with implementing the program. In year 4 and 5, we're helping them build the capacity to run our programs on their own. And then we move on and build another focus school. So our entire approach is around creating pathways of community involvement and participation, so communities can take ownership of their own solutions. I don't want to be the holder of a community's solution.
Gotcha.
What we're doing is creating a pathway and helping them build the capacity to take ownership of their own kids' education. So we do that through our three-pillar system. So we have three pillars: recognition, support, and compensation. The way that we landed on those pillars is we surveyed teachers across the state, so they can inform us of what were the issues that were most adversely affecting teacher retention and recruitment in these communities. And resoundingly, the information that came back to us was low levels of support from the community, from leadership, lack of recognition and professional respect, and compensation. Right. A lot of teacher support gets hung up around compensation, which they absolutely deserve to be paid more. I don't care what state you're in.
They deserve to be
paid more. But salary alone won't keep them in the profession. So it's about environment. It's about culture. It's about how you surround teachers with ecosystems of support. So Million Dollar Teacher Project is designed to be that ecosystem of support to help communities take ownership of their own solutions, to take ownership of how well their schools perform, by through a teacher-centered approach to make sure that students are in the best environment to get a quality education.
Love it. Now, listen, I've got a sister-in-law that taught at a very distressed part of Las Vegas for a few years, and she definitely, I've heard this story from the teachers. I get it. I love the problem you're trying to solve. This is fantastic. And for those of you listening, you know, we're putting links in the show notes below of how you can help contribute, be a part of the nonprofit that Lloyd is in charge of here and the mission that he's on. I implore any of you listening, if you feel compassion on this one thing, I think everybody in the country can come to a conclusion that this is a problem that we need to address. And I don't think we should rely on our government. So I think that this is a fantastic opportunity you're creating, Lloyd, to let the local environment, let the local businesses jump in here and become part of the solution you're trying to provide. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you. You said your sister-in-law was a teacher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So tell her, we said thank you for her service and her time in the classroom. Tell her you talked to a teacher fan today that appreciated her time in the classroom.
For sure.
And you And you brought up a great point about not necessarily relying on government assistance to solve problems. Right. The entire nonprofit sector was created to fill gaps that weren't being filled by government. You know, that's where the sector came from. And and community members that are passionate about causes hopping in to fill those gaps.
100%.
Ready to pull up the bootstraps and create solutions on their own. And
100%.
So we can move communities along.
I am so glad you're here. And I just wanted to take a few seconds to tell you about a program that we have assembled with a lot of our podcast guests and a lot of people who are listening to the show who are feeling the same way that they do. There's a recurring theme. You'll hear a lot of these founders talk about, I couldn't have done it without my team. I couldn't have done it without a support group of peers. I couldn't have done it without having someone to talk to that understood my feeling of isolation as an operator of my business. You see, you're not alone. It is hard running a business, and it's even harder when you know you can't express all your deepest concerns and frustrations with your executive team. It makes them nervous. It gets them scared. You don't want scared people on your executive team. So where do you turn? The Captain's Council is where you turn. The Captain's Council, it is an organization that we are put together with podcast guests, as well as people who are listening who are in the same boat. You see, peers are the only ones that can give you the type of empathy, the type of advice that only a founder or operator know and understand. Go check it out at captainscouncil.com. I know you're going to love what you see there. We have put together an organizational structure that has small group settings, a global community of founders and operators, as well as monthly and quarterly in-person events. You're going to love what you see there. I can't wait for you to check it out and enjoy the rest of this episode. I love it, dude. So I love what you're doing. And one of the big reasons I wanted to really bring some light to your organization today is partly because of the mission, but secondly, because I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding within the community of business owners who kind of look at nonprofits as, well, they're not really a business. I've been associated with enough nonprofits to know that they are 100% a business. And they have a mission to grow and scale the same way that a for-profit does. But will you walk us through, like, when you first started this, what was the, we understand the mission, but why did you structure it the way you did? And how do you look at the way you operate your nonprofit as opposed to the way another entrepreneur might look at their for-profit business?
Yeah, and so the way I characterize myself as a social entrepreneur, and me saying that is very intentional. Because even when I hopped into this space to create an organization, I took a very business-minded approach to creating this organization, which meant that I understood that in order to create a sustainable organization, there are certain things that have to exist, right? And and as I go through that journey, or as I went through the process of creating this organization, the first thing that I was acutely aware of is that the only thing that separates a nonprofit from a for-profit is tax-exempt status. That's it. But they're both still businesses. And a business is still responsible for generating revenue to sustain those operations.
To employ people and
all of those type of things. So you have the same responsibility where a for-profit is doing it through customers, a nonprofit is doing it through donors, sponsors, grant funders. That's what the ecosystem looks like. And what often happens is that John Q. Public is not always realizing that nonprofits are businesses. And what nonprofits need, and what nonprofits need more than a pat on the back telling them good job, hey, thanks for doing that work, is they need your investment so they can build infrastructure, so they can build capacity to continue growing that work. So if there's anybody doing work around a cause that you care about, you know, think about the causes that you care about, the things that are important to you. There are people that are so committed to that, that they create organizations or they dedicate their lives to it. Now, what those people need is to still be able to afford a living. They have to be able to go on vacation. Sure. They have to be able to pay the light bill. You know, you can't expect them to live off of pork and beans every day, you know? Even if you're doing community work, you should still be able to live a good living while you are doing that much needed community work. Because otherwise, that work isn't going to exist. Because those people are going to go get other jobs, and then there's that vacuum is still going to exist. So everybody, and really, and I know this isn't the call to action part, but I just think it's important for people to understand that in the best way to rally around a cause and around people that are doing the work that you care about is to invest. Invest directly into that work so they can grow and they can hire people. That would be my ask to anybody listening.
I love it.
Find a cause you care about and make a donation to it.
Well, tell me this, because I think thank you for the explanation. I love everything you just said. Totally agree with it. But there is a fear in a lot of people's heads when it comes to donating and it comes to investing. I love that you use the word investing in the cause, is that, they worry about taking advantage of the description you just laid out, which I am positive that this is the way you run, is that you're very, yes, you got to support your family and your employees, but I have a feeling there's a lot that's going to the actual cause and not getting stuck in the middle. And I think a lot of people have this fear of, I donated that thing, and it sounds like maybe 10% of it actually went to the cause and 90% went to supporting the people supporting the cause. You know what I mean? So how do people get a clear picture as to what type of group they're working with versus what they hope the cause is solving? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that I'll say is that the way the community consciousness needs to evolve is that you first have to realize that program staff is a part of a part of the process. Because even if you want to donate a laptop to schools, there's got to be a staff person that can take that laptop to the school. Like, it's not going to get there on its own. So that's the first realization, is that you have to invest in people. Like, an organization needs people to go out there and do it. So I think that even just shifting how you view what an investment looks like and understanding that, okay, I'm investing in this program, and a part of me investing in that is the people that are actually delivering the program, because we need them. We can't do it alone. Especially if we're trying to impact large numbers of people. So that's the first thing. The second is what a nonprofit has that a for-profit doesn't necessarily have is we have a heightened responsibility to transparency. You know, so we have a heightened responsibility to for the community to have access to. We put out annual reports every year, so you see the impact that we're making and where those dollars went. We make our 990s are public. You know, you can go to Charity Navigator or GuideStar and look up nonprofit organizations and see their impact, see what they're doing, see how they're being good stewards of the dollars that are given. And I think what's more important than people looking at, okay, it only went. It went to overhead or it went to staff or like really looking at impact. Like if an organization is investing in staff, we have to look at what is the impact of that though. Like if those staff are impacting thousands of people, I would think that's a worthy investment. That means that organization is hiring well. They're hiring passionate people that are going out who actually care about these causes. And then the third thing I'll say is that I think that this sector unnecessarily gets the rap of, you know, I don't want the organization to misuse the funds.
Sure.
The thing is that we have to understand that, again, nonprofit, for-profit is all businesses. There are bad actors in every business. So there are, even in the for-profit industry, there are unscrupulous CEOs that do dastardly things, but the entire for-profit sector doesn't get painted with a brush because one CEO was, you know, doing something inappropriate, you know?
And depends on which part of the country you're asking that question to, but yes, I agree.
So it's important that nonprofits, you know, be judged fairly. I would tell anybody to, like, before you buy any product, like before you buy the reason why Pepsi, you can go to a store and buy Pepsi is because they have a track record for consistency with their product. So they built some trust in the community around that product. Right. And so you feel comfortable giving those dollars, and you're not looking up what the CEO of Pepsi did in their spare time though, you know?
Totally
and so
totally
there's
agree.
A, so there, so what you have with, when you support a nonprofit is you have the opportunity to look up that organization. Look up their track record, you know, get to know their CEO, get an understanding of how they're going about impact. And that should lessen your concern about investing in that organization, how they use it, you know. So those are the steps that I would encourage people to just follow. And I think it would help in regards to one, demystifying how you give a little bit more direction to it. And know that you have an even better opportunity to get to know where your dollars are going when you invest in a nonprofit than when you do go out and buy some shoes for Nike.
Right, right. Now, are you I know you're in Phoenix area. How big is your organization right now? Where are you trying to get to? What are your growth goals with this nonprofit?
Yeah, my growth goals are at some point to be international. Like, in all honesty, I want to serve and support teachers no matter where they are. I think as a global society, we can always do more for teachers. Even if you're in an area that you're already doing great stuff for teachers, I just think we can do more because the profession is that important. It's that serious. And it means that much to all of us. So right now we are just largely in the greater Phoenix area. We're in the process of a statewide expansion. From here, we want to start creating a national footprint. And like I said, at some point, be international.
I love it. I think it's good vision, good goal. I think you can get there. There's teachers all over the world that need this kind of support. And I love what you're doing. So honestly, and I love that you've demystified a lot of these questions that I had, because, you know, I do donate. I have some very specific causes I donate to. And I'm a big fan of, you know, I've had three of my children serve missions and serve voluntarily for a lot of different things. And listen, I totally support the nonprofit status. I support probably 90% of the people that are doing and running a nonprofit. I think they have really good intentions. And I hope that we can clarify that the 10% that are the bad actors that aren't getting the funds to the cause that need to be going to, I hope we can wipe them out of our mindset when we look to groups like yours who are out there serving such an awesome mission. So absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Yeah, and I appreciate you. One, thank you for that. Thank you for your donations that you make to those causes, because it makes a world of difference to those causes you care about, and ensuring that those people can continue doing that great work they're doing every single day. And I really think it's important that, to that last point you made, that we realize that in every industry, you know, there's going to be some people that aren't doing things with integrity or the best way they can, but that's not everybody. And there are plenty of people that are fully committed to their cause. And they
I think the majority are on the opposite end of the spectrum, where they're taking too little to support themselves while they support the cause. So I think that there's a huge discrepancy between the few bad actors we hear about and the many that are really putting forth probably way more hours, way more time, way more commitment than they should be for the amount of money they're making on it. So I appreciate that. And I think most people do. You know, when you went from being teacher to starting this program, Tell us a little bit. Was there someone that you want to give a shout out to that maybe inspired the move, that maybe helped you see that this was a great way to help solve the problem you saw as a as an educator?
Man. So I guess I'll, in regards to the work that I'm doing, I'll give a shout out to, I guess, my public school education system, because and why it's so big is the way that I describe myself, and I'm a proponent of public school education, got to understand that those often those teachers are distressed and they're under resourced and a lot of that stuff. So I was a slips through the cracks kid. And what I mean by that is I was a kid that wasn't good enough to get a lot of attention. I wasn't bad enough to get a lot of attention. I drifted right in the middle, often ignored. Right. And that's a horrible place to be. And so I created $1 Million Teacher Project for the kids like me that maybe those slips through the cracks kids. Because I think every student should, I don't think nobody should escape education without having at least one educator that impacted them, you know, positively. And then I also created it for those people that do have great teachers, because we want to see those teachers supported as well, and those teachers be able to do more for more kids.
Lloyd, I love it, man. I love the mission. I love your mindset. I love where you're going with this thing, and I do hope you reach global status. For those that are interested in participating in what Lloyd's up to, links are in the bio. Links are down below. Make sure you're connecting and learning more about his program and what he's doing to help teachers. I know that a lot of people like me who have family members and close friends who were involved in that. You know, my wife's upstairs nannying for a woman teaching right now that just can't afford to put her kids in daycare. And it's one of those things where we got to take care of our teachers who are taking care of our kids. And as a father of seven, you know, bless the hearts of our teachers who are dealing with these kids, man.
You get it. Otherwise, you'll have to do it. If they're not 100%, there, you'll 100%. Have to do it.
Totally agree. So, Lloyd, again, and the thing, there may be some of you who are not only considering donating to nonprofits, but have considered building a movement around a cause that you believe in. Social causes are not all political. In fact, most social causes, when done right, are apolitical and 100% for the people they're meant to serve. And I hope that you look at opportunities to serve not only through existing organizations, but look into what might help benefit the underserved or the people that you feel like need that help that aren't getting it. So, absolutely. Lloyd, thanks for all the awareness, buddy. Appreciate you.
I appreciate it. And I just have one additional point, two additional points for you, Todd, real quick.
Got it.
One is the key word for nonprofits is unrestricted donations. So that means they can use those dollars anywhere in their program necessary for them to deliver service to the community they're trying to serve. So they need unrestricted donations. And then second, there's a great documentary coming out called Uncharitable. And it really talks about the need. And it's based on a TED Talk by Dan Pallotta, where he talked about the need to help nonprofits build capacity. So I would encourage your audience to either look up that Dan Pallotta TED Talk or watch that documentary Uncharitable when it's released. I think it's coming out on Netflix later in the year.
Love it, buddy. Love it. Thank you so much. And I appreciate all you're doing. And I hope that there's many people out there willing to contribute to your cause. Thanks so much, Lloyd.
Thanks for having me.
Did that open your eyes at all to the inner workings of nonprofits? I hope it does, because Lloyd is a great guy. And I really appreciated the conversation that we had. And I love the business that he's running. And I hope that you found some satisfaction knowing that most people running nonprofits are very smart. They're very knowledgeable. They know their industry. They know their mission. And they're a lot like Lloyd. If you haven't done so already, check out his nonprofit below, but also take a chance to learn more about people serving the communities and the causes that you really care about. If you're not donating enough, you need to start now. It is very important to take a large portion of your revenue, of your income, and both do it on a personal level and through your business. There are not only tax benefits, there is the joy of seeing these things actually come to fruition. in helping the people they're set out to help. So take that minute to do that. If you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show. It helps us all generate more content when we know people care about watching it. So thanks for taking the time to be here, and we hope we can serve you and your community in many other ways. We'll see you then.